We're continuing our study in Romans chapter 1, and this particular verse is actually, I would say, the theme verse, or maybe the key verse in all of Romans. So we'll be looking at Romans 1, 16 and 17. Our time is limited, so I think we'll begin the message, and then we'll hopefully spend more time in the next week unpacking some of its lessons. Now, earlier this month, we as a nation observed the anniversary of 9/11. Grace and I were living in New York at the time of the attack. Fortunately, we were not in New York at the time. We were away. We were in Wisconsin for my brother's wedding, and we had left early. So we saw it on TV like the rest of us, the rest of most people. But one of the things that was interesting in the aftermath of 9/11 was the fact that churches all over the country, but especially in New York, began to experience an influx of people. Now, if you've ever been to New York, New York has some really good churches. There's a lot of believers who love Jesus, but the believers in New York are a minority, and most people, the city is very secular and has a secular outlook. But after the tragedies, even the churches in New York were packed out after the tragedy, and that to me that was an interesting phenomenon, because people who probably hadn't seen the inside of a church in 20 years were now seeking some kind of comfort, maybe, or answers to the questions that they had. And so, to me, it pointed out that there's something innate in human beings to seek God in times of stress and times of instability. Of course, some will be angry at God, but nonetheless, it seemed that many more were drawn to God in the midst of trial. Now, unfortunately, a year later, many of them kind of filtered out of the churches as their life returned to normal. But many people were led to the Lord and continued to walk with Him because of that trial in their lives. And I bring this up today because this passage and the theme of Romans really is that of sharing and letting the gospel, the good news of Jesus, be made known. The salvation that Jesus offers to others. This gospel, as I said, is a key to our study in the theme of Romans, and the verses today are really, like I said, a theme verse. And so let's look at Romans 1, 16 and 17. Let's read together. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. Now, there's much pressure against sharing the gospel that we find today in our society in the United States. The largest growing group of adherents to any type of belief or non-belief is called nuns. And nuns, as you would think, is they believe in nothing. They're basically agnostics, maybe, or maybe atheists. And that's actually growing. There's a new atheism that I've spoken about, where many high-profile type people are writing books and lecturing, Christopher Hitchens, Richard Dawkins, among others, who are seeking to share the news. I'm not sure if it's good news, but the news of atheism. There's actually atheist websites out there where people post their testimonies of how they deconverted. So it's actually kind of set up as a Christian site where Christians share how God's worked in their lives, but in this case, they share about how God no longer is part of their life. And so this is becoming more popular. Of course, we have a variety of competing faiths to ours, like Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam, and a value in our society of tolerance, but actually a tolerance that is intolerant to Christianity. And I think that's a little bit of what Mark's experiencing at USC as he tries to teach, and they basically put a gag order on him that he can't share anything about Christianity or religion in general. And so it's not that I don't tend to look super negatively at every aspect of our society and think, woe is me. But nonetheless, we need to be aware that, and I think most of us are aware of the pressures that we have as Christians in seeking to share our faith. Now, Paul experienced much opposition in his day as well. In Rome, and to the people that he's writing, they would acknowledge not Jesus as Lord, but they would have acknowledged Caesar as Lord. And so he was in this context where Caesar was acknowledged by the people as a god, and in fact, the Romans would oftentimes be mandated to burn incense in his name, which got many Christians persecuted. And then, of course, there is the religion at the time, and the religion of Rome was adversarial to Christianity, and in fact viewed the Christians as atheists because they didn't believe in the pantheon of gods, but only this one God. And of course, for the Jews, of which Paul and other of the apostles worked, that was a stumbling block to them, which there was ensuing persecution. And so what was Paul's response in the midst of this environment that he had that was highly against the gospel? Well, his response was, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And this is a negative formulation, I'm not ashamed, but in fact what he's saying is that, in a sense, I'm proud of the gospel. I lift up the gospel and I do it boldly. And so Paul does this, and he exemplified this in his life by sharing the gospel to the Jew first, going to many of the synagogues, but also being anointed by Christ to be an apostle to the Gentiles, beginning ministry throughout that Middle Eastern world. So his response was to actually be bold, to uphold the gospel in his life positively. And why did he do this? Well, I think we only have time to really look at one point today, but it is because that the gospel is the power of God for salvation. Paul realized that there was power in the gospel, and in fact, this word power is a word that we get our English word dynamite, dunamos, and it's the word dynamite. And so you think of dynamite, if you make a bomb, if you have a stick of dynamite, and the power that that has, if you had a stick of dynamite in your hand and you lit it, you would blow off your hand, probably half of your body. And so there is power in the gospel, and there's power to change lives. And Paul had realized this amazing power that was inherent in the good news. Now, I was recently reading an article by a website called Gospel Coalition, and there was an article about evangelism. And the lady who wrote the article said that she was in a class, a university class at a secular university, and her atheist professor at the beginning of the class asked, how many of you are Christians? And so he didn't have a very high view of Christians, and I think he wanted to convert. He wanted to see who he could convert through this class. And three of the students raised their hands, and then he said, well, how many of you read your Bible daily? And so this one woman who wrote the article raised her hand, and her hand was the only hand that was raised. And then he made a snide comment saying something to the effect of, well, I think you should actually be a nun. You should actually be studying in seminary. And so he's criticizing her, putting her down, trying to actually humiliate her by this comment. However, she stood firm because she knew the power of God in her life, and she knew the power that salvation brought to her, and that she indeed possessed truth and the good news. So what then is the good news? Well, the good news is that Jesus fulfilled all righteousness by his life. He paid for our sins by his death. He conquered death by his resurrection. And he offers life through belief in him. And through our belief and through what he has done by his death and resurrection, that brings a reconciliation between us and God. It brings conversion. We were once lost, but now we're saved. And so oftentimes Christians talk about being saved. When were you saved? And it's because we were once dead in our sins, but now we are alive to God in Christ. And we'll be unpacking much more of this as we study Romans. And so as believers, we experience a final deliverance from sin and evil, and we will experience this deliverance now in our lives, but also either when Jesus comes again or when we meet Him at our death. And I actually thought it was kind of interesting. I was reading an article as I was looking at some of these atheist websites trying to convert people. And one particular atheist, and I believe he was having kind of a dialogue discussion with a Christian on this site, and he had an interesting remark. And this leading atheist actually said that if Christianity is true, then Christians should be out telling people the good news that they can receive salvation and reconciliation with God. And so, of course, he's like, well, Christianity's not true. It's ridiculous. So Christians should keep their mouths closed. But, in fact, he did say and acknowledge that if Christianity was true, then we should be out sharing the good news. And that's what we're called to today as a church and as individual believers, to share that good news. And so I would challenge you this week to pray and ask God to bring someone to mind, someone in your life who's not a believer, and begin to pray for them and begin to think about ways that you can move them forward in their walk with God. I'm not exactly sure. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go out and give them a tract. We want to share the good news in a winsome way. Winsome would be being sharing in a pleasing way or in a way that's attractive to others. And so we don't want to be offended. I couldn't help but think of how does it feel for you, or I know how it feels for me, when I get a knock at the door at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning and it's a Jehovah's Witness. I'm just like, oh no, I don't really want to answer the door. I actually have answered the door and gotten into a debate with them about Christianity, but most people don't want to have someone come to their door in order to, you know, listen to their spiel. And so we need to have, we want to try to share in a winsome way and in a way that they can accept our lives and our message, but we also want to do it with wisdom, seeking to not necessarily win our friends to Christ just in order to kind of have a knock on our belt, but we want to share the good news of Christ because we love them and we care for them, and even if they never accept the gospel, we value them because they are indeed our friends. But we do have a love for them, and so we do want to express that love by sharing the good news. So let's be in prayer this week about our friends who don't know Christ, and that God would lay on your heart someone that you can indeed begin taking some steps of sharing the good news in their life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for indeed your good news and for the example of the Apostle Paul, and that in spite of his difficult situation, the pressure that he felt, even the persecution that he endured, he nonetheless was not ashamed of the gospel. And help us, Lord, in our lives and as a church to uphold the gospel and to indeed seek to win our friends and our neighbors and our families to the good news of Christ. So we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.